Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast today. I'm so glad you joined me. On yesterday's broadcast, I began a message I've entitled Free Indeed, and we are looking at the subject of guilt and condemnation. Now, that's not a pleasant subject, but as Christians, that's something we all deal with. And I'd like to begin by sharing a couple of verses out of the 8th chapter of Romans, verses 33 through 34. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Beloved, we are all sinners. When we come to Jesus, however, and we repent of our sins and our lifestyle, and we ask God to make us a new creature in Him, because that's exactly what happens. Our spirit man becomes born again. We become alive. We are no longer dead in trespasses and sin, as are all those who are in the world who will not acknowledge God or perhaps don't know about Him. Although the natural world, God has given much evidence for even the natural man who has never heard the gospel to be drawn to the truths of a Creator. Nonetheless, we are guilty before God. We have a sin nature. Our minds, our hearts have been darkened by the God of this world. And it's only in coming to God, coming to through Jesus, because there is no other way. That is the thing that the world finds so offensive about Christianity. Other religions, you know, they tend to be tolerant of other religions. Well, maybe not all of them. Maybe Islam is not. However, As born-again believers, we know that no one can come to the Father except through Jesus. And it is only, He is the way, the truth, and the life. And that's the thing that is so difficult in this the world's mentality, because basically they feel, you know, you need to lead a good life, you don't really harm people, if you're not really a bad person, we all get to heaven. There's just various ways to get there. That is a lie. That is not true. There's only one way. And that is through Jesus Christ. God is a God of love. He sends no one to hell. People make their own choice to go there because they refuse Him. They refuse His ways. They basically are going to be determined to do their own thing, to be stubborn, self-willed, to harden their neck. And so God has no choice. If you invited someone to your house, if you wanted to be friends with them, and they absolutely refused, what can you do? I mean, you can't chain them and force them. I mean, you probably could, but they're not there willingly. And so God honors the free will that He has given man. And he's not willing that any should perish. Whomsoever will, let him come and drink freely of the waters of life. Our Lord stands with open arms, and He weeps for those who have hardened their hearts, who will not come to Him, because He has the hell has been created for the devil and his angels. Those who have they had a higher knowledge, they have abilities and intellects and spiritual powers and awareness that we can't even relate to, because we were in the image of God, but the abilities we may have had in fellowship with the Lord in Eden, in terms of our Adam and Eve, we have lost that. We have been darkened. However, that is will all be changed. The last thing will be our glorified body. Glory to God. And then we shall be as Jesus. He walked through doors. He was still able to eat. Isn't that a wonderful thing? I'm just so looking forward to that. And we won't have to worry about calories. It's like, work out every day. said, God, I'm thankful we won't have to do this, praise God. But we will delight to be in the presence of the Lord. And so as we're looking at the nature of man, we're all guilty before God. But as Christians, when we repent of our sins, even after we become a Christian, say you lose your temper, say you just lose it, you do something that's really wrong and you know it, you go to God, you ask for forgiveness, you repent, you say, Lord, I do not want to do that again. Give me help, give me grace. It's gone. He puts that sin in the sea of forgetfulness. But many times, nonetheless, even Christians who've done that, they sometimes still feel guilty, even if they don't think they've done anything wrong. But beloved, God's answer for our guilt is the cross of Jesus Christ, where he bore the punishment that we deserve. Nonetheless, guilt can still be a stubborn, nagging problem for believers. There could be something you have done before you were saved or even after that you feel so ashamed about. You feel such regret because God doesn't wipe out our memories. He forgives our sin, but we still can recall, just even speaking about it. You might be uncomfortable thinking it's brought up all sorts of unpleasant feelings because you're just so wish you had not done that. But hear the word of the Lord. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Let me read a few verses preceding that in Romans, the 8th chapter, verses 29 and 30. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Hallelujah. Paul applies the benefits of these verses that I just read to you. He asks two parallel questions. He says, who can bring a charge against God's elect? Who is the one that condemns? And his response is to remind us of what he's already said. Hallelujah. He will emphasize, reiterate, hammer home God's answer to guilt one more time so that we will know how to win the battle when guilt attacks. Praise God. Who shall bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again. He lives to make intercession for us. In other words, the cross of Christ, what Jesus did, has brought complete freedom and deliverance, not only from sin, the penalty of sin, but from the guilt of sin. But you might say, well, Sister Glass, sometimes I still feel so guilty. Well, then if that's the case, we have to recognize that someone is trying to bring a charge and condemn us. And there are various sources of that, and that's what we want to look at in order to be really free indeed. There's the world, there's our consciences or our flesh, if you will, and then, of course, our spiritual adversary, the devil. Let's look at the world first. Well, they say they have no use for Christians, for Christianity. The church is full of hypocrites. In fact, there are many people that it may have gone to church a time or two or even any length of time, and they got hurt or they got offended, and they just walked away. And what shall we say to this? You know, I just recently have a good friend, and she's, you know, really loves the Lord. And she, this is not in this area, she wrote an article that was published in the local paper, and that was basically speaking about the foundation. She was addressing the political climate in the nation today, speaking against the liberals and where they're coming from. And she was referencing back to the roots of our founding fathers and the values that we had, and just speaking against liberalism. Very, very well written, very well documented. And she included in that letter a rebuttal, a person who also wrote very well. And they basically said, but look what Christians did. Look how they tolerated slavery. And they brought up all the failings that the world has seen in the Christian church. And so, yes, the church is not filled with perfect people. We serve one who is perfect. His name is Jesus. But that's why we're in church, because we are not perfect. And the answer to those who are bringing charges, such as the church is full of hypocrites, is, yeah, but what are you doing with the claims of Christ? You know, we're all prone to put on a false front. We may not deliberately deceive, but we don't make a great effort to correct misconceptions either. And we are frequently accused of being intolerant, self-righteous, close-minded, and judgmental. And then, of course, there are those Christians who, you know, put on their Sunday best and they are just, you know, smiling and everything is wonderful while they're at church. And then their behavior, their actions, the rest of the week will bring a stain and a tarnish on their Christian testimony. And so we might say, yes, indeed, that the world has, they have a point. There's truth into their accusations. However, we have to understand that, you know, regardless of what they say, we know that we are people that are forgiven. We are not perfect, but we're seeking after perfection. As the Lord told Abraham, walk thou before me and be thou perfect. That's our goal. We can't do it except for the grace of God. But the Lord is working with his people, and praise God, he's coming for a glorious church without spot, stain, or wrinkle. And on that wonderful note, I must bring this broadcast to a close. However, we need to know, what can we do with guilt when it does come against us? Because I've had to deal with guilt. Sometimes the sins that I committed after I was saved have grieved me more than all that I did when I was out in the world for 10 years. So I invite you to join me. If you missed the broadcast, you can go to our website and listen anytime at your convenience. I invite you to write if you're struggling. There's power in agreeing prayer. The announcer will give our contact information. I love you, and until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.